Father, you're so good to us. And the experiences of our lives shows what kind of God you are when you're always there with us and bear with us as we go through all kinds of things. I look out over the congregation now, Lord, and I see faces of people that you love dearly. And I don't want them to be disappointed today. I know they haven't been so far. But in my part now, Lord, I want it to be your part for them, for us. So please pour out your Spirit. Keep Satan out of here. And use me in spite of me to be a blessing as we complete this series of presentations today. So come and speak, and we will give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've been looking at the series, and who shall be able to stand, which is directly out of Malachi, the third chapter. We found out in part one, who will be able to stand? Those who have great faith. We found out in part two, who is able to stand? Those who focus on Jesus and not the world. We found out in part three, who is able to stand? Those who use their time for His work. And then in part four, we discovered those who are able to stand are those who use their talents for His work. And last week, we discovered this, part five. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Malachi 3, because last week was part A of part 5, and this week is part B of part 6, if that makes any sense whatsoever. So open your Bibles. Children, open your Bibles. We want to go to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. And look what it says in chapter 3. And notice that in chapter 1 you will discover that Malachi was, the message he had was he pointed out very specifically that the priesthood and the people were presenting polluted offerings. In chapter 2 we discovered their infidelity, including marriage outside of the church. And now in chapter 3, here's what we discover. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Now that's John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, right? Okay, now notice he goes on. But who can endure in the day of His coming? And who can stand when He appears? There's our title of our series. For He is like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and as a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. Then the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you for judgment, and I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who exploit wages and earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And God answers, in tithes and in offerings. And so please notice the incredible context here that John the Baptist is coming. Jesus is coming. He's like a refiner's fire. Do you want to be ready? Would you like to stand? Then stop robbing God. And last week we discovered we rob God in tithes, and today we discover we rob Him also in offerings. I want you to look at this picture as we go to part 6. Two sides of a coin, part B. I'm sure you recognize that picture. I assume it is impressed upon your mind. By the way, I feel it important to say to you that I've never watched one of the videos of the beheadings of anybody on the internet. I don't want to see that. I don't need to see that. But I present to you a few of the 21 Coptic Christians that were recently beheaded after they were kidnapped 45 days prior. And I have two questions to ask us today. How did you feel when you heard this terrible tragedy? That's a faraway place. I don't know how many thousands of miles. Did you even give it a second thought? Or are we so anesthetized by the violence and murder and rape and everything else you can see on television, on cable, and on movies, if you actually make the mistake of going to movies that are so graphic? Did you give it a second thought? And if you did, you're a better person than I am. The second question, did you stop and pray for them and their families when you heard the news? If you did, you're a better person than I am. As I prepared for this sermon, I realized how anesthetized I had become. And so I use this as an illustration this morning, which will become very plain to you. But before we go on, I'm going to invite you to stop right here and now, and let's pray silently, everyone, for the families of these Christians that boldly gave their life because they refused to deny Jesus Christ. And Father in heaven, forgive me for having become so callous, and also for awakening me to that fact. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Mark the 12th chapter. And let's see how all of this relates. Mark the 12th chapter, where you will find a very common story that will touch us today in a mighty way as we look at part B, two sides to the coin. Mark the 12th chapter and move towards verse number 41. No wonder I'm having a hard time finding it in Luke. Here we go. Verse 41. It says in my Bible, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrans. So he called his disciples to himself, and he said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all of those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Incredible statement is made here. This poor widow has put in more. But she, out of her poverty, put in her whole livelihood. Now, I want you to know I dug a little deeper in this, and I discovered 8 versions of the Bible say all she had to live on. I discovered 3 other versions of the Bible that said all her living. And then I discovered 3 more versions of the Bible that said her whole living. And finally, the one I like the best is, and then there were 3 that said her whole livelihood. And finally, everything she had to live on. One of those 2 said everything. The other one of those 2 said all she had to live on. Now, why am I doing this? I am doing this because I want you to make sure that it's not worded other than you think. And so, first of all, notice this, if you would, the context of this experience, this witness, testimony that Jesus made. Take a look at Matthew 23. And right away, I say Matthew 23, right away your ears should perk up. Right away. This is towards the end of his life. And who does he nail in chapter 23? Who does he nail? The scribes and the Pharisees. Right? This is the first time Jesus so openly rebuked the religious leaders publicly. The first time. Why? He was desperate to reach them, because soon they were going to kill him. And isn't it interesting that God loved them just as much as he loves us? And Jesus made a desperate effort. And look what he said in verse 14. In all these woes, he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive great condemnation." The religious leaders were devouring widows' houses. You know, my work as a minister, I've come across in all these years a lot of gray-haired people. And can I tell you something? You can take advantage of them. They're so unsuspecting, so loving, so trusting, that you can take advantage of them. And that's exactly what the religious leaders were doing to the old widows in Jerusalem. And so what is the context of this statement that Jesus made about this woman who gave all that she had to live on? Everything that she had. The context is that these religious leaders who represent the temple where she gave her last offering were devouring widows' houses. They were taking advantage of the widows and using their property for their advancement of their personal gain. That was a fact. So notice that. Number two, I want you to notice this. Jesus commended her for her offering. Now, wouldn't you think he'd jump out of his chair, run over there and say, ma'am, don't put your money in here. They're just going to devour it. Jesus didn't do that. Instead, he went, come here, you guys, Peter, James, John, look at this. Can you imagine that? Wow. This woman is giving more than all of them. By the way, I need to take a time out just for a second. I want you to know he's not criticizing rich people. Okay, their offering is of great value. But it's the motive behind the offering. You read it for yourself carefully and you'll see that they were coming with their bags of money and they would open them up and take a whole handful and they would go, clink, 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 clink. That's what it says, ostentatious. By the way, where do I get this information? Read Desire of Ages. Incredible. And this woman was embarrassed with her offering. She slunk up to the offering, hoping that no one would see, and quickly put her two mites in. Jesus said, come here, you guys. Look at that. Wow. No one has given as much as this woman. Why? Because of her motives. Her motives from her heart. She gave out of love all that she had. So number one, the context. And Jesus didn't interfere. Number two, he commended her. Look at what it says here in Desire of Ages. She believed the services of the temple to be of God's appointment. And she was anxious to do her utmost to sustain it. She did what she could, and her act was to be a monument to her memory throughout all time, and her joy in eternity. Who shall stand at his appearing? Her heart went with her gift. Its value was estimated by the love of to God and the interest in His work that had prompted the deed. Come here, you guys. Look at this. This is a woman who really loves the Lord. Not necessarily because she gave all she had, but she gave what she had because she loved God and wanted to sustain His work. And so it goes on to say here, her example, and I want you not to miss this. This is really beautiful. Her example of self-sacrifice has acted and reacted upon thousands of hearts in every land and in every age. It has appealed to both the rich and the poor. And their offering has swelled their value of her gift. Did you get that? Their offering, years later, swelled the value of her gift. God's blessing upon the widow's mite has made it the source of great results. Desire of Ages 6:16. So I ask you this question this morning. What do the 21 Coptic Christians and the widow have in common? Yeah, that was a good answer. And I shouldn't have used this picture. I'm embarrassed. They both gave their all for Jesus. I wondered, what would I do? By the way, I feel the need to say this. Why do I apologize for using that picture? Because it is very likely by the experts that this was touched up. In fact, they don't even believe that these men were executed on a beach. They believe it was green screened. Is that the right word? Green screened? And later on, the background was put in. And I do not want in any way to communicate the success, supposedly, of these individuals who did this horrible act. But I want to tell you something. These men were martyrs and need to be admired. And so was the widow who gave her two mites. What did the two have in common? And that is, they gave their all for Jesus. And I want to be there. I want to get to the point where I do the same thing. There's a new disease that's very prevalent today in our society. It's a very serious disease. It's extremely severe and harmful. And it's a 21st century disease. It is called cirrhosis of the giver. The symptoms are, do you experience sudden paralysis and inability to reach for your wallet when the offering plate comes your way? 2, do you find yourself sweating or getting mad at the preacher for talking about money? 3, do you pay everybody else before you pay God? If that's the truth, you have cirrhosis of the liver. Of the giver, excuse me. It was actually discovered about 34 AD and ran a terminal course in a couple named Ananias and Sapphira, Acts 5. It is an acute condition which renders the patient's hand immobile when it attempts to move from the billfold to the offering plate. The remedy is to remove the afflictions from the house of God, since it is chronically observable that this condition disappears in alternate environments such as golf courses, clubs, and restaurants. Now, folks, I hope somebody out there is thinking, you know, Pastor usually doesn't use negative illustrations. This is a very giving church. But this is a prevalent problem everywhere. And I felt it worthy to conclude this last part of this series, that there's no waste that we will ever experience when we fully support the work of God to the best of our ability. Father, I want to thank you for each and every person who's come this morning. For you are looking for martyrs, Lord, that will stay the course and stand the cause no matter what they face. And it seems like one of the greatest challenges of a prosperous society such as ours is being faithful to you in tithes and in offerings. And I pray, Father, that you would give us the spiritual eyesight we all need, including me, to clearly see that when we give to you, we are putting treasures in heaven in advance of our arrival. And no one can take those, steal those, cheat those away from us. Bless each person here. And thank you that I have such a generous church. Thank you that I'm part of a group that inspires me to be more faithful in stewardship than I was before I came here. But Lord, have mercy on all of us to be more sensitive to what's going on around the world so that we can prayer support these people that are facing harder and more difficult challenges than we are. So blessed to this end, and thank you. You never fail nor forsake because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.